Sometimes we think godliness requires us to live with little money. But when we look at Scripture, we find that isn't always the case. Roxanne Endermule of His Faithful Stewards joins us tonight to discuss this important topic on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wiley, Texas, Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of topics. One of the topics we frequently address is money. And all of us need money. We have to have it to live on, to operate on. We want to save it for the future. We want to give it to the Lord's work. And I'm glad to welcome Roxanne Endermule of His Faithful Stewards back to the program tonight. Roxanne, always good to have you on the program.
Well, thank you, Don. It's always good to be here.
And you sound like you're right in the studio with me, even though you're in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Now, tonight, we're looking at God's abundance, times that God has supported extravagance. We're going to explore how that fits in with stewardship. Now, money, I think, can be a confusing topic for a lot of people, because that may be why, or maybe that's why the Bible has more verses on money than it does even on prayer. What do you see as the core issue about money in the Bible?
Well, I think it's tempting to try and draw a single message about money that's the same for everyone. But I don't think that we see that in the Bible. Interestingly, the core issue that I see the Bible address is what underlies money for everyone, which is faith. Do we trust God to provide, or do we worry about money? Do we give generously, or do we hold tight to everything, afraid of what tomorrow is going to bring? I mean, the Bible addresses heart issues, and then it brings out money subjects that expose our heart.
So do you think the Bible takes a position on whether it's better to be wealthy or to be poor?
Actually, I don't see that at all. I see the Bible zero in on our attitudes towards money, but not much about the quantity of it. God's interested in our hearts.
Well, you're saying the core issue about money is faith. Now, do you think this means that everyone should be living paycheck to paycheck and in the process waiting on God to provide for our needs?
Well, no, I actually don't believe that. I mean, that can be a reality for any of us at any time. I mean, even Paul had said that he's learned to live with little and he's learned to live with much. So sometimes he was lean. Moses was a rich man as the adopted son of a Pharaoh. But that was gone immediately when he had to run for his life. So while I don't think that we're usually called to live from paycheck to paycheck, that doesn't mean that we're never going to be in that position. I mean, things can change quickly, and God wants us to trust him.
I was thinking about Abraham when you mentioned Moses. He was also blessed with increasing wealth throughout his life. And there were some other people from Scripture that I think were blessed with wealth, correct?
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, let's take a look at Job. I mean, Job was the wealthy man when we meet him. And then, you know, the test comes into his life and he loses all of his wealth. But when the test is over with, his wealth is restored. Another example would be David. I mean, David was a shepherd boy when we meet him in the Bible. And then we see him become king. And he's, you know, and he's quite a rich king.
And his son Solomon probably richer than he was. Would you agree?
Yes, and yeah, and he was even blessed with riches because of the fact that he, you know, chose wisdom over wealth. We also see early Christians in Acts and the epistles, and we see poorer people in Acts and the epistles. I mean, let's look at Philemon. It's written to a person who owns slaves, so we're talking about a person of means. We also see a group of wealthy women in Luke who were supporting Jesus' ministry. But though all these people were people of faith, the focus was never on their money.
Important to keep in mind, and tonight if you have questions about how to manage or use your money, 855-586-LIFE. Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the story of Scripture.
It's a two-day seminar that walks individuals from Genesis to Revelation and tells the grand story of God and what He is doing.
Don't miss your opportunity to find your place in the greatest story ever told.
And we find out by the time we get to the Gospels, it's all about Jesus.
To learn more or sign up, visit thestoryofscripture.org, thestoryofscripture.org.
In Hebrew, the number 18 symbolizes life. It's Chai, a word that echoes hope and blessings. The Master Life Coach Training Institute, Agape Care International, and the Fund for Victims of Terror extend this lifeline to Israeli military and their families, offering trauma assistance during these challenging times.
You can stand with Israel by donating as little as $18 at mymlcti.com, providing training and support to volunteers who uplift broken hearts.
Donate now. Be a blessing.
Tonight on Encouragement Live, Roxanne Indermule joins me of His Faithful Stewards. We're talking about extravagance, stewardship, and a heart that blesses God. If you have a question about using money or about how to manage your money, 855-586-LIFE, 855-586-5433. It could be you're nearing retirement and you have some questions about those kinds of issues. We've talked about that before. Give us a call, 855-586-5433. And if you'd like to learn more about what Roxanne is doing with His Faithful Stewards, she's making available a series of 3 to 5 minute videos that are available for free at the website hisfaithfulstewards.com. You can go to that website, or you can also set up a time to talk with her about money and resources and how to best use it. Go to the Contact Us button and schedule a time for a free chat. That's at the website hisfaithfulstewards.com. Roxanne, we've talked about some examples of people with wealth. Let's talk about some people who didn't have very much wealth.
Yeah, well, the most obvious is going to be Jesus himself. The Bible says the Son of God had no place to lay his head. That means he really didn't have a home, at least not during his ministry years.
He was homeless, yeah.
And we can also look at John the Baptist. He had a pretty humble existence as well. He lived in the desert, eating locusts and honey. I don't know about you, but I don't consider locusts to be a delicacy.
No, not at all. Hope not, no.
So, and we see many poor people coming to Jesus and being welcomed. And Jesus made clear that there would always be poor people among us, and we are called to care for them.
And we certainly should, and that's a part of what God wants us to do with our money. So what would you say that having a little or having a lot, would you say that really is not the focus of what the Bible tells us about money?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, the only story that I can think of that focuses on a person's wealth is the story of the rich young ruler. In his case, Jesus told him that he needed to sell everything and give to the poor. He couldn't do it. He couldn't part with his wealth. And in the story, the focus was on the attitude that could not let go of his money for something greater. But nowhere in the story does it indicate that everyone with wealth is called to sell everything and get rid of it. Only that we must value our relationship with God on a higher plane than we do money.
And so part of our purpose tonight is to help each of us to evaluate what is our relationship with money. Is it something that we just desperately need to have that we're afraid of losing? Or is it something that we see as a tool that we can use to please God and to help and serve others? 855-586-LIFE is our toll-free number. It's 855-586-5433. And we are talking about using our resources to please God. Roxanne, Jesus demonstrated a real heart for those who are disrespected by society, and that would include the poor. But there was a time when a woman poured some very expensive oil on Jesus' feet when the disciples tried to stop her and said the oil could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Jesus rebuked them. I want to come back and ask you about that when we come back. And by the way, friend, if you have a question, 855-586-5433. 5433 is our number.
In the heart of tradition, where each letter carries weight, the number 18 stands tall. In Hebrew, it's Chai, the very essence of life, a symbol woven into the fabric of Jewish culture. At celebrations, we toast L'chaim, to life, anticipating joy and prosperity. Now, the Master Life Coach Training Institute, Agape Care International, and the Fund for Victims of Terror channel this ancient blessing to those who need it most.
In the shadow of conflict, Israeli soldiers and their families face the toll of war. Let's stand with Israel by donating just $18 at mymlcti.com.
Your gift, less than a family meal at some fast food restaurants, can nourish souls by training volunteers dedicated to mending spirits shattered by crisis.
Visit mymlcti.com to make a donation. That's mymlcti.com.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in the people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. Music on Encouragement Live, produced by a member of our team, Brad Smith Art. And if you'd like to download some of the selections that Brad has produced online, you can Google Brad Smith Art. Brad's wife, Nikki, is with us tonight. Also, Danny Webster, Brent Hawkins. And we appreciate the team that's making this ministry possible tonight. Our toll-free number is 855-586-5433. And we're talking about money, extravagance. And I think, Roxanne, the incident that I mentioned when we were going to the break, when Jesus was talking with his disciples and a woman had poured very expensive oil on his feet, and the disciples tried to stop her and said, "We should have sold that oil and given the money to the poor." Jesus rebuked them. What do you think he was trying to tell them there?
Well, this gift that the woman brought to Jesus was extravagant. I mean, it was not a simple gift. You know, it was a sacrifice for her. It was extravagant, and it was a costly gift. It could have been sold for a year's wages, the passage tells us. Yeah. So I believe in this bountiful gift. This woman demonstrated her great value of Jesus. She valued Jesus above a year's wages, and it was a great sacrifice for her. But for Jesus, it was not about the rich gift, but the heart that wanted to give so much to him. She wanted to give something extravagant to show how important Jesus was in her life, and for that she was praised.
So do you think there are times when the Lord wants us to be extravagant in the same way?
I think so. I mean, we can't go pour oil on Jesus' feet today,
right?
But we can give extravagantly in other ways.
Yeah.
I mean, whether we support ministries that further the cause of Jesus on this earth, or we give to the needy, we're directed to give as we're giving to the Lord. So we show our love for him when we sacrifice for things that are close to his heart.
What are some of the other ways that we may see this extravagant love for Jesus lived out in our world today?
Well, you know, I've heard stories of people who have sacrificed a great deal to help, you know, a missionary or somebody because they felt the Holy Spirit prompting them. I also think of pioneer missionaries of the past that have shown extravagant sacrifice for the Lord. You know, Hudson Taylor comes to mind, who gave up everything to get the gospel, take the gospel to China. Mm-hmm. He gave up everything, familiar, his comfort, everything.
Yes.
I think of Jim Elliott, who gave his life to reach unreached people in South America. Extravagance can be financial, but there are other ways that show extravagant love for the Lord as well. I mean, our time, our money, and our comfort are all things that might be sacrificed when we're driven by passion for God.
I've heard it put this way, Roxanne: time, talents, and treasure. All three of those things ought to belong to the Lord, and we have an opportunity to give out of those. And sometimes that time investment can be big. Sometimes it's a matter of using our gifts, our talents, and maybe not capitalizing on that for our benefit, but also giving out of the treasure that God's given us. I think of a quote that I've heard attributed to Jim Elliot and also to C.T. Studd. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I bet you've heard that quote before, too.
I actually have. And in college, I had that strip plastered up on my dorm room wall.
So. Oh, boy. How about that? That'll bring back some memories for you. But again, yeah. We're talking about ways to be extravagant for the Lord. And again, going back to that lesson in the Gospel of John, where Judas, and not just Judas, but some of the other disciples were saying, we should have sold this and given to the poor. What we give demonstrates love. I think about the Valentine holiday, and, we want to give something of value to a person we love. And, I give to my wife, you would give to your husband, that kind of thing. And if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're told to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, then it stands to reason, don't you think, that we would want to give to him?
Oh, absolutely. When you love somebody, you're looking for ways to improve their life, to meet their needs and do things that show your value.
Talking about extravagance in terms of serving the Lord tonight, that's not the only thing we're talking about, though. 855-586-5433. Perhaps the opposite of extravagance is frugality. And Roxanne, you've mentioned a number of places where we see extravagance in the Bible. So where do you see places in the Bible where frugality is praised?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I think there's a lot of distortion around the concept of frugality. The Bible does direct us to be responsible stewards of the resources that God has entrusted to us. But the idea of frugality being a godly trait actually comes from the Puritan and the Protestant work ethics, not directly from the Bible. The Bible teaches us to work hard, to care for our families, and to behave as stewards with the money that God's entrusted to us. The idea of frugality was taught with a strong work ethic and was accepted by the hearers many years ago, and that idea has just lived on for generations. But the Bible really doesn't say much about frugality being a godly trait in and of itself.
Yeah, that's a shocking statement for a lot of us, because we've always thought that somehow poverty was next to godliness, sort of like the Bible saying cleanliness is next to godliness. Neither of those is found in Scripture. If you have a comment or question on that, 855-586-5433. Our first call tonight comes from Daryl, listening in Maine over WBCI and Life Changing Radio. Daryl, good to hear from you. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, good evening. Speak up there, please.
Yes, I'm trying to. I have pockets and it's hard to talk. Just beware. The Bible says, get your house in order.
Yes.
Well, I woke up one morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and went downstairs, and I was thinking to myself, all this stuff is baggage. Everything's baggage, because I woke up in hell, Because I felt like I got left behind. But I thought it was in hell, and I said, all this stuff is baggage. The house, everything I own is baggage. I thought I was doing right by getting everything in order,
Yeah, there's actually a principle, I think, Daryl, and I think you're alluding to this, where someone was actually told, set your house in order because you could very well face death. Roxanne, you might comment on that principle. I don't know the exact reference right now, but I think about what happened to us just a week ago Sunday on Father's Day. I had talked with my brother John, who is 10 years younger than me, the previous Wednesday, and John was doing very well. He asked about my wife and her health and said he was praying for her. And then my other brother called me on Father's Day early afternoon and said John had gone straight to heaven. and had passed away. And so we don't like to think about that, Roxanne, but I think the principle of having our house set in order that Daryl has mentioned is one that's important.
Yes, I didn't actually hear much of anything that Daryl said, but I think it is important to have our house in order because nobody knows what the number of our days are, and we never know when the last is going to be.
Yeah, and what are some things, maybe on a practical level, that we can do to set our house in order? I would think having a will would be important, and making sure that we have what we want done with the resources that God's entrusted to us after we've gone. I know of a situation where some people were being extremely generous in their giving, and they had set up a donor-advised fund. And when they passed on to glory, the money, of course, was transferred to their heirs. And all of a sudden, things changed, and it was a rather drastic and abrupt change. It seems to me that we need to be involved in stewardship in this life, but also even beyond that. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. And, you know, and taking care to have things in order, since you don't know when the number of your days are going to be extinguished, is important. I mean, we help people actually put together the list for their heirs, or, you know, to be sure that organizations that are supposed to be getting, you know, contributions and things have been informed and have the information on that so that, you know, things go the way that people are planning for them to go.
Yeah, some of you, perhaps as a part of setting your house in order, may want to reach out to hisfaithfulstewards.com and go to the Contact Us button and schedule a time for a free chat with Roxanne. Or you can also go to the website and actually set up a time to talk with her about that. And that would be a very important part of setting your house in order. And go to the website, hisfaithfulstewards.com. And as I mentioned earlier, she's produced several 3 to 5 minute videos, short videos that are available on the website as well. And you can download and view those, and that would be helpful. Daryl, I think it'd be good if we pray for you right now. Lord, thank you that Daryl called us this evening. Thank you that he felt led to set his house in order. Lord, we do ask you to extend him life and health and strength, if you'd be pleased. But Lord, we also recognize, as the Apostle Paul said, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I think of my brother John, who he is now absent from the body, but is present with the Lord, and I thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for that hope that we have, just as the Apostle Paul had. And we pray for Daryl, Lord, for strength and health and wisdom, for others as well who need to set their house in order. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Daryl, thank you for calling us tonight. Great to hear from you.
There's one thing I need to say. I'm a carpenter. And I did a lot of work in my house, and I finished it up, and then the next thing I know, I come down with Parkinson's.
So you were a carpenter, you finished up the work on the house, and then you've come down with Parkinson's since then. Parkinson's is a very debilitating disease. When I was president of a college, my dean of students came down with Parkinson's at a very young age, and it was very difficult for him. And we want to let me just pray for you about that. Lord, help Daryl to deal with this Parkinson's, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Daryl, thank you for your call tonight. And friend, we'd love to hear from you at 855-586-5433. We are talking tonight about a very important topic, one you may not have thought about: extravagance, stewardship, and a heart that blesses God. Roxanne Indermule is with me, and you can reach out to her to set up a time to talk with her about setting your house in order at hisfaithfulstewards.com. You can also download and view those 3 to 5 minute videos that are available, or go straight to the Contact Us button and schedule a time to chat with her as well. By the way, you can also download some of our programs from our library of programs that we've had online, at encouragementlive.org. That's encouragementlive.org. We'll take a quick time out and then come back with more of our conversation with Roxanne Indermule, and that gives you an opportunity to call us at 855-586-5433.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for rent that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Tonight, Roxanne Indermule is with me. She is with His Faithful Stewards, their web address, hisfaithfulstewards.com. You can set up a time to chat with her, to talk with her about setting your house in order for that date that's coming to all of us at some point or another. And Roxanne, it seems to me that you're working with people in the financial realm around stewardship, and that's part of why you've named your organization His Faithful Stewards. Let's talk about how stewardship works with extravagance.
Well, the basis of stewardship is that everything we have is on loan to us from God. Hmm. He owns it all, and we're to view it as resources that He's entrusted to us. So this calls us to be responsible with what He gives us, and it challenges us to hold things very loosely, you know, for because they're His. I mean, nothing really belongs to us. It merely is entrusted to us.
One of the most important principles in Scripture, that we are stewards, we are not owners. So do you believe that when a person gives generously to God, that guarantees them wealth, sort of the name it and claim it approach?
No, I actually don't. I do know stories where that's happened, and it does happen sometimes, but it certainly isn't a guarantee. Mm. I mean, I firmly believe that God rewards those who sacrifice for Him and that He will provide for our daily needs if we trust them. But the idea that giving more guarantees that we'll have greater wealth is not something the Bible guarantees. We're promised that our giving will be rewarded, but that may not be in this life. We may be laying up treasure in heaven. I think we have to be careful not to think we can manipulate God into doing something we want by taking certain actions.
I like the way you put that, manipulating God. Sometimes we have a tendency to think that if we do certain things, like giving a certain amount of money, that we can somehow get God to do something for us. Doesn't operate that way at all. But do you think there are some ways that our culture sees extravagance as a sign of love and devotion?
Yeah, I think, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier. I mean, when we start talking about romance and love, I mean, when a guy and a girl love each other, the sacrifices that they make for each other, you know, are great. And, you know, every now and then we see something broadcasted and, you know, of something someone's done extravagantly for their love, and it just makes us all warm inside.
Yeah.
And I've heard many people say that romance has broken their bank. I mean, they love each other. And so they put the other person, you know, they put their money where their heart is. They devise special dates. They go to special places. They buy thoughtful gifts because they want their sweetie to know that they love them and they value them. I mean, a guy may buy an extravagant diamond ring when he wants to convince his girl of his love. Yet most people don't consider these sacrifices as painful when they love the other person. Their heart wants to give to the one they love. And our love for our Lord should be no less.
That's a great illustration. In fact, Kathy and I have had the experience this past week of actually visiting with two of our grandchildren and someone of the opposite sex that they have developed a fondness for. And in the one case, they actually called us on FaceTime to announce their engagement. And congratulations to Josiah and to Jessica. And we're excited for them. They haven't set the date yet, or at least if they have, they haven't let us know. But there is a ring involved. You know what that means. Very
yep.
Important to keep in mind. By the way, let me mention again, Roxanne has a number of videos she's produced. The free video series with 3 to 5 minute videos dealing with practical financial topics, as well as a useful financial worksheet. That worksheet may be helpful for you as you try to set your financial house in order. You can request these at the website hisfaithfulstewards.com. While you're there, you can go to the Contact Us button and schedule a time for a free chat, or there's a number you can call to schedule a time to talk one-to-one with Roxanne, and she does not charge for that, but that's something, and there's certainly no obligation to purchase anything, but you'll find Roxanne to be extremely helpful, very biblical, and very understanding. Our toll-free number, again, if you have a question for Roxanne about the topic we're talking about, 855-586-5433 is the number. We'd be glad for you to give us a call and talk about it. Let's talk about stewardship again. You know, it all belongs to the Lord. So how do we approach extravagant giving and stewardship? How do we put that together?
Well, I think it's important to remember that our life with the Lord is based on a relationship with Him, not on a checklist.
Yeah.
So if we love Him and our relationship with Him is strong, we'll be sensitive to His leading. We'll respond to Him. The second part comes from living in submission to the Lord. When He provides opportunities for us to give generously, do we ask Him to direct us and then respond to where He leads? I mean, if our lives are centered around our relationship with the Lord and responding to where He leads, the resources that He has entrusted to us will be at His disposal.
Hmm.
So on those occasions when He may call us to give extravagantly, we can do that in response to Him. And to me, that's the best stewardship of the Lord's money.
Very important principle there to think about. And again, I think about that dear lady who was willing to take literally the cost of oil or perfume that would have been the cost of a year's wages, and anoint Jesus' head with that and wash Jesus' feet, demonstrating great love for Him. May we demonstrate great love for the Lord with whatever we give. Now, we're talking about, when we talk about stewardship, some of what God gives to us for our living is part of that. And you've talked about the three purposes for money in the past. I think it would be helpful if you'd remind us of what those three are.
Sure. I mean, God gives us money to live, to give, and to grow. Hmm. We need money to live our life. He understands that. He knows that. God calls us also to give generously, and He wants us to be good stewards and grow the money that He gives to us.
Now, you work with people mostly on growing their money responsibly as good stewards. How do you go about doing that, and what are the uniquenesses of your approach to that?
Well, there's a few different ways we work with this. But first, we show people how to grow money well without gambling it in the stock market. Our world's culture teaches us that the stock market investments are the best way to grow money, but that simply is not true. Hmm. Investing in the stock market is risky, and it's a lot like gambling. You may earn some high rewards at times, but you can also suffer deep losses. So we don't see that as good stewardship. We help people put their money where it will never be at risk. And over the last 10 years, the growth rate has averaged 8 to 14%.
Now, are you saying there are places where people can actually invest money and be guaranteed they will never lose their money and still average 8 to 14%?
Yes. Just this week, I was talking to one of my associates who had actually ran a comparison for someone last week. The person had put $100,000 into the stock market 20 years ago. With the ups and downs of the market, it's now worth around $450,000. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't seem too bad until we plug that same $100,000 into one of our safe investment vehicles for the same amount of time. And that same investment over 20 years would have grown to $1.4 million in one of our safe tools. Wow. So it makes a big difference when you don't have to make up for losses.
Now, we mentioned people thinking about retirement and getting in touch with you at hisfaithfulstewards.com. But I'm thinking now there may be some young people who have sort of gotten started in the stock market and maybe felt like they were doing pretty well. You know, maybe they started after the recession of 2008. I guess it's appropriate to call what happened in 2008 a recession. Or at least pretty close to it devastated a lot of people in the market, and maybe you've invested in the market and maybe it's growing, but maybe you just heard what Roxanne said about the contrast between that $100,000 that was invested in the market and $100,000 that was invested in one of these vehicles she's talking about. And you might want to talk to her about that, and you can set up a contact time, schedule a time for a free chat. And again, there's no obligation, there's no pressure to buy anything, but you can go to the website hisfaithfulstewards.com and you can schedule a time to either talk or to chat with her. And you can also download those 3 to 5 minute videos that deal with those practical financial topics. And there's also a very useful tool there, a worksheet that will help you as you want to set your house in order. Very important to keep in mind. Now, if somebody wants to find out more about this, we've talked about the link that we have there, but can people find out about these tools that you're using without making an appointment?
Well, since our goal is to help people accomplish their goals and exercise good stewardship over their money, we don't just hand out general information on investments and send out literature. I mean, everybody's situation is different, and we provide the information that fits the person and fits their goals. And for that, we need to talk with them. We do that, you know, and if they don't want to talk to us, we do have a free video series that's 3 to 5 minute long that teaches different aspects of financial management. And if a person doesn't wish to meet with us, they can just sign up for the free video series. It goes out once a week by email, and they can watch those.
Very helpful information. Again, all that at hisfaithfulstewards.com. And again, you can download the free video series, or if you'd prefer to talk with Roxanne, again, with no pressure there, you can contact her and set up an appointment to visit by phone or to chat. Talk a little bit about some of the other ways that you're helping people with good stewardship, Roxanne.
Well, we do several other things. I mean, we work with a specialized trust that defers capital gains taxes and other passive income taxes forever. Hmm. It can help a self-employed person to drastically reduce their taxes, usually by over 90%. These help people who are paying a lot of taxes to the government and would like to steward that money differently. It's a great option for those with strong investments and those with strong self-employment income. I mean, imagine earning $1 million on investments and not owing any taxes.
Wow.
Or having your Yeah, or having your own company and have it net $500,000 and potentially pay less than $10,000 in taxes.
Boy, that certainly would get somebody's attention that may be in business, and some of you in business, maybe you've been paying through the nose, and you know, you're saying, okay, how can I lower those taxes? Roxanne has a tool that's available. And I would say it sounds like that could allow for some extravagant giving for somebody who is relieved of those high taxes, right?
Yeah, I think it could change a lot of things for someone in a high tax bracket.
Some of you perhaps in a high tax bracket, maybe you're in a low tax bracket, but maybe you have a question for Roxanne Endermule. 855-586-LIFE is our toll-free number. That's 855-586-5433. I mentioned her website, hisfaithfulstewards.com. The series of free videos released once a week, 3 to 5 minutes each, consisting of dealing with practical financial topics, or you can schedule a time to talk with her about setting your house in order. That's at hisfaithfulstewards.com. We'll be right back.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the story of Scripture.
It's a two-day seminar that walks individuals from Genesis to Revelation and tells the grand story of God and what He is doing.
Don't miss your opportunity to find your place in the greatest story ever told.
And we find out by the time we get to the Gospels, it's all about Jesus.
The story of Scripture exists to fuel your passion as a believer toward a journey of deeper engagement in the full narrative of Scripture.
All this Bible that we have, it's all connected, and it's one continuous story that starts in Genesis, but to show the continuity of that is an exciting thing.
To learn more or sign up, visit thestoryofscripture.org. That's thestoryofscripture.org.
Here's a conversation from hisfaithfulstewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to hisfaithfulstewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's hisfaithfulstewards.com.
We're back and into the final segment of tonight's edition of Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins. As I've mentioned, our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of topics. Money is one of the topics the Bible addresses. In fact, Roxanne, you mentioned the fact that there's probably more said about money in the Bible than there is about prayer, which may be sort of shocking to some people.
Yeah, it is. There are more verses on money than prayer, and I think even faith in the Bible.
Yeah, and there are a lot of verses about faith in the Bible, a lot of verses about prayer, and sometimes those are connected with money. Sometimes we have to pray and trust God to meet needs. Maybe that's your situation tonight. You are trusting God to meet some desperate needs. If we can pray with you about that, or we'd love to do that. Our number is 855- 586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. Or maybe you're in a situation where you want to be a good steward. Maybe you've got another 20 or 30 years before you retire, and you've already begun trying to put some funds away to take care of your family for the future. But you're also looking at, we talked about those three specific things that you do with your money. You live and you give and you grow, and you're trying to make all of that fit together. You have some questions, you can reach out to Roxanne at hisfaithfulstewards.com or certainly give us a call tonight at 855-586-5433. Now, Roxanne, you talked about the specialized trust that defers capital gains taxes and could reduce taxes by as much as 90% or more. Tell us about some of the other things that you're doing right now.
Well, we help people who are a little younger to create a warehouse for their cash where they can save for the future, but still be able to access most of that money without penalty if something urgent comes up. These accounts have much better interest than bank accounts, and they never lose money in a market downturn. And these accounts also have the benefit of providing a tax-free stream of income later in life, so they can save for retirement without the restrictions of traditional accounts and still have access to their money in emergency, and it can provide tax-free income for retirement.
Boy, and that sounds to me like something that I know a lot of people get in a situation. They're putting money into an IRA or a 401k or a 403b, and then all of a sudden an emergency comes up, the transmission goes out of a car, somebody has to have surgery, and they wind up having a major penalty as well as losing interest. And what you're talking about eliminates that hazard, correct?
Yes, it does.
So that's important to keep in mind, and so that could be very beneficial. What about anything in the way of precious metals that you're doing?
I work with a reputable company that provides actual pre-1933 gold and silver coins. It's not just precious metals on paper.
Yeah. Well, that's, and a lot of people are doing precious metals, but it's really a precious metal on paper. It is, and a lot of those people are doing a lot of advertising, correct?
Yeah, they are.
Now, talk about the benefit of somebody investing in that. What kind of person would be looking for these pre-1933 gold and silver coins?
Well, first, let me tell you that the reason I like the coins is because they don't have to be reported to the government, for one thing.
Oh, okay.
So people can maintain their privacy with them. And they also have some collector's value on top of the precious metal value. So you've got two different things bringing them value instead of just one. But it's especially helpful for people who have, excuse me a minute.
Little frogs interrupted you there. That happens to me from time to time, too.
Yeah, it's so people like who have 401ks or other market investments that they really can't change, we suggest that they do some gold and silver as kind of an insurance. Because typically when the stock market goes down, gold and silver go up and vice versa. So if you have a big stock market drop and you've got some gold and silver, that basically it helps keep things leveled out and gives you some insurance.
Yes.
So keeping a small amount of gold and silver, you know, it offsets that market risk for people that are stuck with their money in the market.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it seems to me that there's a biblical principle there of diversity. One of the Proverbs talks about dividing your substance between seven or even eight. And I'm not sure that we necessarily, that indicates that we have to invest in seven or eight different kinds of investments. But I think the point is Solomon, who's very wise, was telling us the importance of diversity, correct?
I believe so, yes. I think it is. It's wise to spread that around and not leave it all in one place.
855-586-5433. We have an anonymous caller on the line. Go right ahead. You're on the air with Roxanne.
Good evening, ma'am. My question, I have a bunch of questions, concerns the fact that I'm in my 70s. I don't have any money saved. I pay alimony to my ex-wife, but I have a good income, and I do tithe. I'm just kind of wondering, I'm working to get out of debt right now, but I'm just wondering kind of what direction an old person like me would want to go to.
Well, I'm so glad you called us tonight, my friend, and we're going to refer to you as Anonymous. But Roxanne, he has told us about the situation. He is apparently has a fairly good income. He is in his 70s. He's paying alimony to his wife, but he basically has very little, if any, in terms of retirement funds.
Right. And I think I would... My role with somebody like that would be to sit down and kind of take a look at you know, if you've got good income coming in, is there a way we can divert a little bit of that into savings? We'd also want to take a look at what's going on with Social Security. I don't know if you're currently drawing Social Security or not, but, you know, see where the...
Yes, apparently, yeah, he said he was drawing Social Security.
Yeah, so we know where that's at. You know, and there's a variety of different ways, you know, that people can earn a little bit of money on the side that you know, that we sometimes will explore with people. I mean, there's a lot of gig work out there, everything from deliveries to I don't know, you name it. It seems like there's a gig for almost everything. And to find something that maybe would fit you, you know, that would bring in a little extra but would not be terribly taxing to you would probably be a really good thing.
Let me pray for you tonight, my anonymous friend. Heavenly Father, thank you for this dear brother who's called us tonight. And Lord, he is making a good income, but he's not been able to put any away for the future. He is paying alimony and has expenses there. Lord, I pray that you would grant to him the wisdom that he needs to be able to determine a plan that would enable him to be able to put some aside. Because again, Lord, we need to live, we need to give, and we need to lay aside for the future. So, Lord, just work that out. I pray that if you'd be pleased to let him reach out to Roxanne, that he might do that and be able to set up a time when he can talk with her in confidence and discuss the situation. And we pray that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for calling us. And again, hisfaithfulstewards.com. You could set up a time to talk with Roxanne, and that could be very helpful. Thanks for calling us tonight.
Well, thank you, sir. Have a good night.
You too. 855-586-LIFE. Ron is in Georgia tonight, listening over American Family Radio. Good evening, Ron.
Hi, how are you?
Very
I have
good.
A question regarding nonprofit. You see, my son is still in California, kidnapped through medical and other persecution. It's just ugly stuff because he's autistic, okay? I've been unable to get accountability from the Departments of Health in the state of California. They've drugged him, sexually molested him, and incarcerated him, not allowed him to leave. And with a recent court ruling of the Supreme Court, I feel like I have a chance. So how do I create a nonprofit so that I'm financially shielded against being attacked or being persecuted, as I've been going under for the last 6 years, trying to get him out of this unlawful, unlicensed group home in San Bernardino County? How can I do that? Do you have some materials or a reference?
Well, I'm so glad you called us tonight, Ron. And Roxanne, I'm not sure if you have any thoughts as to what could be done about that. My first thought is prayer. And we have a team of people that listen to this broadcast, Ron, that rally around people that call in with difficult situations. Roxanne, you may have some practical thoughts for Ron about setting up some kind of a not-for-profit that would perhaps shield him in that situation.
Well, Ron, I would be happy to have that conversation with you. I have actually set up two nonprofit organizations, so I do know a little bit about it. It's not something that we typically do through our company as help with, you know, to help people set those up. But I am more than willing to answer any questions and be of any help to you that you, if you'd like to set a time to chat with me, I'm more than happy to share what I do know with you.
Ron, it sounds like you may be talking to the right person tonight because Roxanne has experience setting us up. Is that providential? You know, I love how God works these things out. Now, Ron, did you jot down the way to contact Roxanne? Is at her website, hisfaithfulstewards.com. And there is a place on there where you can go, and it'll give you two options for contacting her, one for a conversation, one for a chat. And I would encourage you to do that. And Roxanne, would you lead us in prayer for Ron about this? And just let's ask God to work this situation out, that he might be able to liberate his son from that situation.
Yes. Father, I lift Ron and I lift his son to you. Lord, I know that you care about the situation, and this is heavy on your heart as much as it is upon Ron's. And Lord, I ask you to give Ron clear direction and clear instruction, and that you would lay out each step for him on this path, and that you would enable him to be able to liberate his son and to get his son into a better place. And I just ask all of those things in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Ron, thank you so much for calling us tonight. It's just great to hear from you. And we will be praying about this and look forward to, by the grace of God, you being able to set that not-for-profit up and working with Roxanne and, Lord willing, getting your son back where he's under a good, godly influence with you. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. And friend, thank you for joining us tonight. Again, if you have a question or want to find out more from Roxanne, she's got the free video series of 3 to 5 minute videos on practical financial topics, as well as the worksheet, or set up a time through hisfaithfulstewards.com. Thank you, Roxanne. Great to have you on the program tonight.
Well, thanks, Don.
Good night, friend.
Good